Off the Ball.
In association with AIR. Watch 35 live European Rugby Champions Cup games this season on the AIR Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome, Max. So still, United 1-0 up in Bournemouth. City cruising 2-0 up away to Swansea. Leicester 3-0 up away to Southampton. But no breakthrough for Liverpool at home to West Brom. As I speak, Spurs have just scored at home to Brighton. Aurier with the goal for Spurs. That's after 40 minutes. I'm sure you'll all be watching Sky Sports later on this evening. We're expecting her in the ringer at 10:30. It's Katie Taylor's first title defence. She's up against Jessica McCaskill, who's over from Chicago. It's on in York Hall, very famous venue over in London. We have Andy Lee here in studio. And Billy Walsh joins us on the line as well from Colorado, where, believe it or not, Billy, I understand it's shorts and T-shirt weather.
Yeah, I don't feel a bit sorry for you guys, if that's what you want me to do.
How are things going out there?
Yeah, great. Actually, we just finished our national championships and back from our World Youth Championships in India, so we're getting ready for 3rd of January. We have our first training camp, so getting all that ready before Christmas, before I head home.
Mm. And are you missing home much, or have you really settled into life over there?
Not really. I get home for 3 or 4 times a year, and family get come out here to meet me at different times, so I'm not really missing at home. I'm that busy, actually, you know. You don't get a whole lot of time to think in this game of boxing. It's 24/7 job, you know.
Yeah. Did you miss home, Andy?
Similar to Billy, you'd be home a lot. And sometimes it's nice to get away as well, Billy, isn't it?
Yeah.
A healthy distance.
Yeah.
So, Katie Taylor then, she's fighting this evening. It's on Sky Sports. It's on in York Hall, which Andy is like one of these storied, very famous, maybe the most famous boxing arena in the UK, or one of them anyway. Everyone knows York Hall. You probably fought there, have you?
I fought there as a 13-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. And had a second round stoppage, which was great. And
did you get back up?
I did.
What kind of venue was it?
It's very intimate. It's very small. It's like the King's Hall or the Ulster Hall up in Belfast. It's very small. There's a balcony that goes around the top. And there's swim baths next door. They're called swim baths. So we used to go in through the boxing and sneak in through the dressing room and go in swimming for free. That's what we used to use as kids. But that was a great place. All the great English fighters that would have fought there over the years, and I think Katie will enjoy headlining there.
Mm. I presume you must have been there many times, Billy.
Yes, yeah, it's an iconic venue. You know, as Andy said, it's very close quarters. With people looking right down on top of the ring. You know, it's a great atmosphere, and you know the British boxing ran the WSB there for the last number of years as well on occasion. So it's a cauldron. You know, it can be very hot.
Which you would imagine
Katie would have a lot of support there. It would be a cauldron of noise and a great atmosphere.
Mm. So Taylor's headlining Sky Sports' very last show of the year. This should get a decent audience tonight, I would think. I mean, live sport on a weeknight always does pretty well when there's not huge competition. The football will be long over at this stage. It's a really big night for her, Billy. It's her first defence. Jessica McCaskill is the opponent. She's 33. She has 5 wins, 1 loss in the professional ranks. She's ranked number 4 in the division. She's the number 1 ranked US fighter in the division. But I was reading Johnny Watterson today in the Irish Times, who pointed out that the US isn't necessarily a hotbed for this division necessarily. So being number 1 in the US isn't as kind of scary as it sounds. But she's number 4 in the division ranked, which is obviously a fighter of some substance. Have you seen much of her?
Yes, I watched her quite a bit, actually. I think, look, Katie is, you know, it's a great opportunity for her. I think it's a great opportunity for Katie to show the skill set that she has. This girl will suit Katie down to the ground, in the fact that Katie struggles with opponents that actually don't come to her, that she has to chase, and this girl is going to come to her in abundance. You know, and I think Katie's skills and quick hands and feet will put her in a great standing for tonight. I think this girl, you know, she's strong, but she hasn't got Katie's speed. She has a good right hook. And I know Katie and her coaches will have the homework done to make sure that she avoids that. But, you know, I could see this. I could see this not going the distance. I think, you know, a 3rd or 4th round stoppage would seem on the cards for me, having watched her over a couple of contests.
Because, Andy, the other side of the coin, I mentioned her credentials. There is obviously a lack of depth in the division in some respects. So of her five wins and one loss, three of her fights were against opponents making their debuts in the professional ranks. She's never fought outside of the Chicago area, so it's not like she's some kind of unbeatable opponent coming over here, far from it. What have you seen?
I would agree with Billy on his assessment, but I do think she's quite strong. She looks heavy-handed, especially with her right hook, as Billy mentioned. And if Katie boxes and uses her superior skill and speed, she'll win all night. She'll box McCaskill all night. But if she gets reckless and tries to trade, which she's done in a few of her fights, I could see her taking a few punches. But she'd have to be careful, you know. And over her last few fights, she'd have to pay more attention to defense and be more wary of what's coming back at her. Katie always wants to engage and entertain. I think she's going to have a way to entertain and show exciting fights for female boxing. But sometimes I would just err on the side of caution and be a little bit more cautious with what's coming back in terms of especially the right hand from McCaskill.
Is Katie less defensive in some respects than she was as an amateur?
I think so. That's because I think she's trying to prove a point and show that female boxing is on par with male boxing. And to be fair to her, she's done that.
Billy, how has she changed as a fighter? I presume the changes are considerable since you worked with her as an amateur.
Yeah, look, I think she's settled down a bit more. She's not obviously up on her toes moving around so much. She's trying to get more quality in her punches. Her hand speed is phenomenal. She's trying to slow that down a little piece to get more venom in her punches. But you know, other than that, she's still Katie Taylor and the gifts that God gave her. She's using those in abundance. You know, I think Andy, I agree with Andy. Yeah, that right hook is dangerous. You know, and Katie is inclined to leave her left hand down a bit low at times. But you know, I think, and the only thing I would say is that with the effect of the York Hall and the atmosphere that's in it, it may sometimes encourage Katie to go into a fight and into a brawl, and that's something that she doesn't want to do with this girl, because that's the only chance that this girl has. You know, and this sport is boxing, right? You know, one punch can change anything, you know? So there's never a certainty as such. But, you know, I think if Katie sticks to her guns and sticks to what she's very, very good at, her movement, her quick hands, getting in, getting a few punches, moving around and getting out, keeping herself off the ropes, I think she should be, she'll come out victorious.
Okay. One of the slightly quirkier, interesting aspects of the build-up to the fight, Andy, is that McCaskill has been calling Katie Taylor out for the guts of a year now. I don't know, did you see, she put up an Instagram or like a video where she is a carton of milk with Katie Taylor's picture on the side of it saying, missing person, can't find her anywhere. And she's been trying to engage in some kind of, I guess, fight talk in the build-up.
She's highly motivated for the fight.
Yeah.
She's wanted it for a while. I heard that she sent a rubber chicken to Katie's training camp,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So she's playing a bit of kidology. I don't think that'll get under Katie's skin, though.
That was my question. Katie wouldn't be used to that necessarily.
I think it's very smart by McCaskill, because, like Billy said, her only chance is if Katie engages and gets involved in a brawl.
Okay.
Because that's the only chance she has. She can't match Katie for speed or power. Not so much power, but speed and skill and technical ability. But she's got to hope that Katie comes fired up. And as Billy said, the York Hall Cauldron, it'll be very hot in there. People will be very close to the ring. Mm. They're almost in the ring with you. And, you know, the noise in there could incite like a firefight. And
I would presume it's very difficult to ignore cauldron atmosphere, noise, probably a very Irish crowd there. You're Katie Taylor, you're live in Sky Sports. Like, she will actually do very well not to get sucked into all of that. When you
think about her previous fights of Auburn on big cards, Joshua's undercards.
The crowd are way back.
Arenas, stadiums. And that can be a very placid atmosphere when you walk in. It's air conditioned, it's airy. This will be a new experience for her, and also being a headline. But look, Katie is levels above
right.
McCaskill, and she will go on. I believe she'll box and beat her easy.
Okay.
But she just have to be a bit careful.
Okay. Taylor, I mentioned, is ranked number two in the lightweight division. The number one is the Belgian, Delphine Persoon. Mm. I don't know if you've seen much of her. She's won her last 30 straight bouts. She's 32 years of age. So I guess ultimately that's what we're building up towards here. Does Taylor have to improve, Andy, in any great way to be able to beat the number one fighter Persoon?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've watched Persoon quite a bit, and to me, Katie beats her. Right now, Katie beats her.
What kind of fighter is Persoon?
She's a boxer, but she's technically not on Katie's level. That's the advantage Katie has above everybody in her division, because she has that amateur pedigree.
Yeah.
She's learned from Billy Walsh and Zora Antier, and that will always stand to her. That will always give an advantage over these other female fighters who don't have that background, that experience that she has. And I think, you know, they're going to find it hard to find someone who can really give her a test.
Yeah. Would you go along with that, Billy?
Absolutely. You know, if we just think back, Katie Taylor dominated world female 60-kilo division for 12 years.
Hmm.
12 unbeatable years, she was dominating the world of amateur boxing, right? And became Olympic champion and, you know, 5 times world champion and 6 times European champion. So, you know, a lot of these girls would have fought at, you know, as amateurs, and I don't recall any of them being in any of those top fights, you know what I mean? So Katie was like well above all of those, and now she's transformed into a professional, and I don't think, you know, there's any of them out there to stop her. Untouchable. I think she will unify the whole division, and, you know, I think you may see her trying to go up and take another weight division as well.
Mm, yeah, which would be interesting times. Actually, I should say before we let you go, Billy, we had just yesterday in the station, just by quirk of scheduling, we had Michael Conlon on in the morning, who was his usual chatty self and in good form. And then we had Jason Quigley on last night. Very interesting. He was talking about his move from LA. He's moving back to Sheffield. He was saying he just finds the easy life is making him soft out there in LA. He's enjoying Venice Beach and living in a marina. He was saying, look, I grew up in a small house next door to a bookie above a pub. I need to be in a tough environment to feel like myself. So he's gone to the Ingle Gym in Sheffield, as I'm sure you know. And Paddy Barnes has obviously made strides as well in 2017. So what have you made of your amateur boys going pro?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I actually was in LA last week, and myself and Michael met up, and I went to a training session with him, and we went out for a coffee, and I know he's heading home for the Christmas time. So, yeah, it was great. It's actually fantastic to see him doing so well, you know. And sometimes it's very difficult for, you know, it's great to be out there. Like where I was with Michael, you know, we're down by Venice Beach, you know, like it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable place. It was like 25 degrees, and it was the 1st of December, right? And we were down on the beach, and, you know, actually my son was with me, and he actually went in for a swim, right? You know, it was fantastic, and it's easy to get used to that life. But, you know, at the end of the day, home is home, and you want to be where, you know, Michael and Jason had quality coaching at home, you know.
Yeah.
We had a quality system in Ireland, and then obviously they had their parents coaching him, their father's coaching him as well, you know. So you're going to miss that, you know. I think... the problem that they found that when they got here, they were small fish in a big pond, you know, and they're in with a lot of probably most of the Hispanic people in their gym, and the guys that are coaches there are Hispanic, and they don't really know the guy. It's business, you know, it's money. It's, you know, you get so much work today, but, you know, as at home, it was very, very personable. You got relationships with your coaches. You got, you know, they know the quirky things about you, what makes you tick and what doesn't make you tick, you know, and so I think that's what the guys missed. You know, they're out there. It was very, very cold. You know, it was like work and was business, you know, and didn't have that relationship with the people that they needed to have, you know. And I think something that Andy maybe can talk a bit more about. I know he had a great relationship with his coach when he went there.
Yeah.
Eventually, so that's what maybe kept him there so long. But the guys Jason Blicker struggled with that. And actually, when I get home, I'm going to meet up with him and have a conversation with him. But,
right,
you know, it's great to see him doing so well. Look, these guys were world-class. You know, Jason Quigley was like a hair's breadth of winning a world championship, his first world elite championship. You know, we cried and begged him to stay on to the Olympic Games and to do his business in Rio, and he decided to go. And Michael Conlon was our only male world elite champion.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic. He was European champion, best boxer at the European Championship, Commonwealth Games. He's won everything as an amateur. You know, and I thought I saw in his last fight, you know, back to what he does best, and his boxing ability. The previous fights, I think he was trying maybe too hard to knock people out. He went in and boxed. He boxed southpaw. He boxed orthodox. He was sidestepping. He was feinting. You know, he was doing all the really good, clean, technical boxing that made him what he was.
Mm. You're nodding at quite a lot of that, Andy.
Yeah, I would agree with everything Billy said there. And I was always fortunate to have a good relationships, and with the coaches I work with.
You get to live with them.
Yeah.
He must like you.
I know. So that's important to know that the fella in your corner cares about you, your well-being as much as you, you know, and has that emotional investment in you. When you're in the ring and when you're going through it day to day, it's important to know that the guy in their corner feels it as well.
Yeah.
And in terms of Michael boxing, I thought it was one of his best performances, because he just got back to... he looked happy. He wasn't forcing it and really put on the show.
Yeah, but it's such an understandable pressure for these amateurs. Katie has felt it. Michael has felt it I got to start knocking people out now, and I got to be a different fighter, and I have to. And maybe sometimes you don't have to go as far away from what you're good at.
You can just relax into it, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking about three probably of the best prospects in the world, not just from Ireland. Jason Quigley, Katie Taylor, and Michael Conlon. So there is going to be some pressure, and they're still finding their feet. They're all very early in they're all in the first year as pros, so they're still very, very early for them.
Yeah. One last thing. Andy and I touched on this earlier in the show, Billy, and it was the other aspect that Jason touched on. I don't know if you buy into this or not, but he almost said the environment was too nice and it was almost making him soft. And I appreciate your point about working with coaches where it's just business and it's a bit cold. And, you know, Jason didn't talk to us too much about that side of things, but he was certainly saying... having his, as he said it, his $4,000 a month apartment overlooking the marina, he almost felt he needs to live like a contender. He needs to almost have a frugal kind of lifestyle. Do you believe that?
Well, I think, you know, from generations before him, you know, guys went to hostile environments to get themselves ready for competition and go to training camps. If you're living in, you know, on Sunset Boulevard and you're in a nice apartment and there's plenty of activity going around and there's models walking up and down the street every day, you know, it's very difficult to get your mind focused on what you need to be focused on. So sometimes you need to go to those hostile environments, like the, you know, Mike Tyson used to go to the Catskill Mountains. You know, everybody goes to their own little place. You know, Andy had his place. We went to foreign shores in Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan and Russia to get our guys ready for the major competitions, you know, hostile environments, you know. And I think that's, you know, maybe that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, you do need, you know, a lockout from real life. You know, you got to get your head, your mind set focused. You know, it's a really tough environment to be in. You got to be pushing yourself to the limit physically. You know, you got to be building yourself up mentally, which is a big, massive part of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're going to be sparring, doing rounds and rounds and rounds with guys who are all trying to make a name for themselves, you know. So you can't do that. When you walk outside the door, then you got all this glory and you got all this sunshine and you got all these, you know, positive things happening around the world. You got to shut yourself off from all that and get into a mindset that's going to make you aggressive and ready for what battle is ahead.
Interesting. So they're understanding your Wexford accent over there then?
Yeah, I must be getting a bit of American accent, I think, because they're starting to understand me now. For the first year, they didn't understand a word I said, but they're starting to get it now.
Right.
Either they're becoming Irish or I'm becoming American, one of the two.
not too much of a twang, anyway. I think you're okay.
No, I don't have it.
And you've been able to shape things in your vision, and you're getting the control that I suspect you really obviously wanted here. All that side of things is living up to the billing.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I got here, like from the beginning, day one, that has been the case. You know, yeah. Whatever I wanted, I was going to mold this the future of USA boxing. Come in, and so we're now in the middle of putting together a world class gymnasium for those guys with four rings in it, with all the branding around the walls of all the top American boxers that have won gold medals before. You know, it's going to be we're in the process of doing it. It'll be done by the end of the month. It's going to be fantastic. When the team comes in on the 3rd of January, they'll be shocked when they see the new surroundings that they're going to come into. You know, so we're building the right environment, the healthy environment to enable these guys to perform to the world-class level. We're putting them in a full-time program that the rest of the top guys, the top countries in the world are at, that we did in Ireland, that Great Britain did, you know, and I'm going to fund them to stay amateur. And you know, we look like we'll have a good shot at 2020 and bringing home some more medals.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can only imagine the talent pool that you have popping up in front of you.
Yes, there's a massive amount. You know, we had our national championship last week. There were 700 boxers at it. You know, it's an amazing, you know, you go to Ireland, we had 70 at our league championship. So there is an abundance of talent. unfortunately, maybe in the clubs, they're not doing what they should be doing. It's very professionally orientated.
Right.
So technical boxing, skillful boxing, like amateur boxing, is probably not being looked at much. So that's been a challenge, and we're hopefully getting out to the clubs and getting them a coach, you know, coach development system that, you know, will enable them then to produce better talent to come into my gym. So, yeah, it's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm actually 2 years here now. I can't believe it. Just that they're flying in. So, you know, we have a couple of more years until Tokyo, and then hopefully we get our rewards there.
Great stuff. We'll chat soon. Thanks a million.
Okay, thank you very much.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.